Here we're turning to Luke chapter 2. We'll probably be in Luke chapter 2 for a couple of weeks now, but we're going to do things backwards. We're going to start at the end of Luke chapter 2 and move toward the front of it. Instead of starting in a couple weeks at the beginning of Luke chapter 2 and moving forward, we're going to kind of back up on time a little bit. We're going to start at the end of Luke chapter 2 instead of the beginning. We're going to begin in verse number 39. Luke chapter 2 and verse 39, and we're going to read down through the end of the chapter, verse number 52. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 39 down through verse 52, I encourage you to follow along in your Bible as I read aloud. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 39. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer this evening. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for how precise and concise it is. God, you've given us all the information we need to have about our Savior, and Father, you haven't given us more than we need. So I pray this evening that, Father, we would not try to read between the lines and read into the text what is not there, but, Father, that in these short and concise statements we would glean exactly what you have for us tonight. Help us, Father, as we examine the early years of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, help us to understand his upbringing, his teaching. And Father, we can't begin to comprehend the incarnation. We can't begin to understand that Jesus was God in a human body with human limitations. And so, Father, a lot of this is beyond our ability to comprehend. So we pray that by your Spirit you would be our teacher and our guide. And Father, you'd give us just what we are able to handle. And I pray it'd be an encouragement and a blessing to us. And Father, as always, we see that everything that's in your word is so practical for the day that we live in. And Father, help us to see how the Bible in practice today would make us better people, make our home stronger, make our nation better. Bless our time in your word tonight. We ask in Jesus Christ's precious name, amen. Luke chapter 2 takes us from the birth to the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. His birth is recorded at the very beginning verses of Luke chapter 2, and by the time you get to Luke chapter 3, we're already at the baptism by the hands of John the Baptist. That means that 30 earthly years of the Lord Jesus Christ are wrapped up in 52 verses. That's why I say I appreciate the preciseness and the conciseness of God. The Bible tells us at the end of the Gospel of John that if all the things had been written about the Lord that could have been written, the world itself could not contain all those books. If God had given you everything to answer every question that anybody has ever asked, you would not be able to read your Bible through in your lifetime. You would not be able to carry it to church with you on Sunday or Wednesday. You'd have to load it in a truck, a pickup truck, a tow behind something. If God told us everything that sometimes man requires to know. Hollywood has made a fortune out of filling in the blanks here in Luke chapter 2. Telling us what they suppose happened in the carpenter shop and how he might have grown up. And we can make all kinds of suppositions. But we know that there's enough the Bible tells us that we don't have to worry about what the Bible doesn't tell us. God gives us enough detail and information to suffice us in this lifetime. When we get to heaven, we can see the whole thing in a grander picture. And so we look tonight at the end of Luke chapter 2 to see the picture that God has given to us. You know, some folks, if you ask them how they're doing, they couldn't keep down 7 days of the week to 52 verses. You say, how you doing? They'll go on for a little. You might as well just get ready. You're going to be there for a while. But the Bible can take 30 years of the life of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and boil it down to 52 verses. I might encourage you to be able to do the same thing. And when somebody asks you how you're doing, you can kind of narrow it down into a few choice words and let them know. But the Bible gives us all we need to know about Christ in 52 verses, from his birth to his baptism. Verse 1 to 20 in Luke chapter 2, though we're not going to cover it tonight, Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 20, talk about his birth. We read about Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth, the birth of John the Baptist. We learn about Anna and Simeon, all the things that happened in the temple. All that's recorded in the first 20 verses, the birth. Beginning in verse number 21, look there if you would. From verse 21 down to verse number 39, we read about the babe. In verse number 21, it says, "And when 8 days were accomplished," so there Jesus is 8 days old. And from verse number 21 down to verse number 39, the Bible tells us what happened on that day where Jesus was taken to the temple and two turtle doves were offered, because Joseph and Mary were poor peasant people, not wealthy people, and the law allowed for the unwealthy to give just two turtle doves or two pigeons. And so they make that sacrifice, dedicating their young eight-day-old child to the Lord. And we read about that from verse 21 to verse number 39. Then we read about him as a boy from verse 40 down to verse number 52. And that's what I want to focus on this evening, looking at Jesus Christ as a young boy. In verse 42 it says, "And when he was 12 years old." So what happens in verse 39 and verse 40 happened before he's 12, between 8 days old and 12 years old. Then we get down to verse 52, and it tells us after 12, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." That covers from the age 13 to where we next see him at the age of 30. And so the Bible gives us this pattern, gives us this information of how we can look at Jesus, what we'll use today's terminology, at his early childhood development. That's what we see in Jesus Christ in these verses. When we look at the boy, we see in verse 39 and 40 where he lived. Verse 39 says that they returned unto Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. And we know that when Jesus began his earthly ministry at the age of 30, he began out of Nazareth. They said, "This is Jesus of Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" He was identified because that's where he spent his formative years. And so he was identified as a citizen of Nazareth. That's where he lived. In verse 41 to 50, we see what he loved. Verse 41 to 50, what he loved. He loved the Father's building. You remember the story, and we read through it. We'll not take time to go back over it. Joseph and Mary, when they left Jerusalem after going at age, Jesus at age 12, they went to the temple again to worship and to sacrifice. And when they left, after they had left, after 3 days' journey, they realized he wasn't with them. Now, we blame Joseph and Mary and say, what kind of parents are those? But I got news for you. They were good parents. And we'll see that in just a moment. In that day, and those caravans and all the families traveling together, it wasn't unusual for one of them to be missing. I want to defend Joseph and Mary. You say, why? From a biblical perspective? Well, yeah, kind of. But I remember one day. I remember one Sunday evening when our church was still meeting in the Braden's farmhouse. That Sunday night, with our 6 kids, we got in the van and we loaded up and we headed home. And about halfway home, we looked around and realized that of our 6 kids, only 5 heads were popping up in the seats of the van. No sooner did we get home and got a phone call, and I said, "Are you missing somebody?" And we had left Sarah, not even the youngest one, the second. We had left Sarah there in. She was back in the boys' room playing with their toys, and we missed her when we left the church. So I want to defend Joseph and Mary for having forgotten and lost track of where Jesus was. But when they came to find him, the Bible says when they got to Jerusalem, they went everywhere seeking him. Now for you and I, from the vantage point of where we stand looking back, shouldn't they have known where he was? They went everywhere looking for him in Jerusalem, and they sought him everywhere, and you know where they found him? In his father's house. They found him in the temple. They found him in the Father's building. And he was there exchanging questions with the learned men of his day. You know, we've been going through in Sunday school, we've been going through the encounters of Christ with Pharisees and the scribes. And we've seen repeatedly that Jesus was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. In fact, right after his baptism, when he first began his ministry, the first Sabbath after his baptistry, he was at the synagogue in his very own town of Nazareth. He was back home. That's where he'd gotten trained and raised up. And when he got home, the first thing he did on that day, he went there and they handed him the scroll to read. You remember that? And he read from Isaiah chapter 61. And then we find it in his ministry, frequently and regularly, he was found in the synagogue. And then when he's not there, we find him in the temple at the time of sacrifice. We see that Jesus was regular in the Father's building. And so these verses from verse 41 to verse 47 describe Jesus as a boy. What he loved, he loved the Father's building. And then verse 48 to 50, he loved the Father's business. Verse 48 to 50, when they found him, Mary said, "Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." He said unto them, "How is it ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" You'll notice the Bible tells us that when Mary said, "Thy father and I have sought thee," it was a small f. Now, again, Mary is just using the popular denomination. She doesn't want to say your stepdad and I, because you know, she knows about the situation, the virgin birth, but she says, "Your father and I," and he said, "No, I need to be about my Father's," capital F, "my Father's business." The Father's building and the Father's business were what encompassed the early years of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a very valuable lesson for us. That in those formative years, the Father's building and the Father's business are very important. This all happened before Jesus was 12 years of age. The sociologists will now tell us in our day, those that have done the studies on things, and we've heard this for quite a few years now, that the first few years of a child's life are the most vital and the most important. That's why the state wants to get a hold of them as early and as young as they possibly can. They want to start teaching them and indoctrinating them as early and young as they possibly can. But you and I need to get a hold of them and indoctrinate them as early as we can. And that's why I appreciate Joseph and Mary. They did that. They did a fine job with their son, Jesus. Now again, here's where we come into the dilemma. We know that Jesus was God in a human body. Knowing he was God in a human body, that means that the moment he was born, he was probably fluent in Old Testament Hebrew. And he knew all the doctrines. I mean, they were in there, right? He was God in a body. And yet at the same time, he increased in knowledge. He increased in wisdom. He increased in stature. And so not trying to communicate what I can't comprehend, but just simply telling you that we know the incarnation is true. We know he was God in a human body. And our minds really can't fathom how he had to go through the early process, but he had to be developed and grow like any other child did, yet being God in a human body. Now, please don't ask me to try to explain that or go into any more detail. My head will explode because I can't begin to comprehend that, and neither can you. We don't believe it because we can explain it. We believe it because the Bible declares that it's true. See, it's the cults that don't believe it unless they can explain it. We simply take the Bible at face value and believe what it says. So we see where Jesus lived, we see what he loved, and then in verse 51 and verse 52, we see what he learned. What he learned. He went down with them and came to Nazareth, was subject unto them. Jesus was subject to Joseph and Mary, a child subject to his parents. Parents, you own your children. The government does not own your children. There are European countries today that have, it's in their laws that children belong to the state. The old communist country of Russia believed that the children belong to the state, and America in many ways is heading in that same direction. And I'm not here to preach against the public education system, but I'm just saying that's a tool that's used to make the children a part of the state and indoctrinated by the state instead of by their parents. He was subject unto them, verse 52, and he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man, the early childhood development of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to look very briefly at just one verse. I want to circle in on verse 40 this evening. We'll look a little bit at verse 52 also. We're going to look at verse 40 and Jesus' early childhood development And I want you to remember this. This verse takes place before he's 12 years old. Between the years of 8 days, and I think when we get down to verse number 39, he's at least 2 years old, from let's say from that early childhood to the age of 12. Everything we find in verse 40 is talking about the life of Jesus in his first 12 years. We don't have to imagine what he did and how he ran the streets and all that kind of stuff. The Bible gives us the information it thinks is important for us to get. And so we're going to look at this as Jesus is growing from 8 days to 12 years old. I want you to see, first of all, in verse 40, the Bible says, and the child grew. The child grew. That's his physical development. His physical development. Now, physical development is natural. There are, sad to say, some people that do not develop naturally. Folks that have different kind of handicaps, and we're not talking about any of that. We're talking about the average person. The average person develops naturally. And Jesus was just like that. There was no abnormality about him. There was no handicap, so to speak, about him. And he developed at a normal age. That means when he was 2 years old and you saw him, you said, you know, that kid's about 2 years old. When he was 8 years old, you would have looked at him and said, by his height and his stature, that boy is about 8 years old. When he was 18 years old. All right, there was a normal physical development in the life of Jesus Christ. Now, the thing that's amazing is because we know the Bible tells us in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Whether he was 30 years old or 2 years old, Jesus was God in a human body. And again, that's just beyond our comprehension that Mary and Joseph holding that little child, that infant in their arms and looking down, were holding God in a human body. If you don't believe the Bible and you don't believe the supernatural, you'll never be able to comprehend that. Because it just doesn't make any sense. That the God that created Joseph and Mary, their creator was now a creation of, at least of Mary, by being overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And they're holding that child. And so Jesus was God in a human body, and he developed physically in a natural manner. The Bible says in Philippians 2:7, you know the verse, he made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus, God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, took on a human body just like you and I have. And his development was a natural development. Now, the question that this brings us to, and we've talked about this more recently, is when did this take place? When was the Word made flesh? When was he made in the likeness of man? And I believe the only conclusion we can come to is at conception. It wasn't the Word made flesh when he came out of the birth canal. He wasn't made in the likeness of man after he was fully developed in the womb. He was God in the flesh the minute that seed was planted inside of Mary's womb, and that thing which is conceived in thee is of the Holy Ghost. Jesus' incarnation began at conception. Look, if you would, and I know we covered this not too long ago, but look back at Genesis chapter 4, and I will do this again just to emphasize that biblical truth. That biblical truth. You know, we've got fellas, and you know today, with the Obamacare mandate, we've got the owner of Hobby Lobby that is protesting that, having to cover not birth control. They're not necessarily against it, but the different artifacts, the different things that are the day after pill, the morning after pill, the week after pill, that are abortants themselves. And they do that because of biblical principle, and our government right now is not honoring or respecting that God-given principle, and that puts us in a dangerous place in our nation. But they are coming from the biblical viewpoint that birth begins at conception. And that's the Bible, teaching. Look at Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. And again, I know I preached on this a few weeks ago. But in Genesis 4 verse 1 it says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare." All right, conceived and bare are 16 times in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. Because God is instructing us in the pattern that you conceive and bear. And conception is just as much life as bearing the child is. Down in verse number 17. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare. Again, 16 times in the book of Genesis, those two phrases go together. So the Bible teaches us that that life begins at conception, and Jesus Christ was made flesh while still in the womb, not 9 months later when he was officially born on this earth. And Jesus developed, again, I can't comprehend this, Jesus developed in the womb, just like the child that is created in the womb today. Jesus developed his ears. Jesus developed the head. Jesus developed his legs and his cardiovascular system and all that. And again, I can't say it enough times. I can't understand all that stuff, that was God in a human body, but that's the miracle of the incarnation. And Jesus, from that point, when his life began, from that point, he developed to the age that he was 2 years old, and he appeared as a two-year-old. When he was in, you remember the story back in Luke chapter 1, when he was in the womb of Mary, and Mary went to meet Elizabeth, who was 6 months more advanced with her pregnancy. And she was carrying John the Baptist, and when Mary came with Jesus in her womb, and Elizabeth was there with John the Baptist in his womb, Mary said in verse 41 of Luke chapter 41, the Bible says that John the Baptist leapt in Mary's womb at the salutation of Mary. I'm getting the names all mixed up. Leapt at the salutation of Mary in Elizabeth's womb. And verse 44, Elizabeth confirmed that thing and said, when that babe heard your voice, he leapt in my womb. Life begins at conception. Jesus' earthly life began in the womb of Mary in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And that thing that is conceived in thee is of the Holy Ghost. And he developed physically up to the point now in verse number 40 where he's 12 years old. Those formative years were the important years of his life. He developed physically. Then I want you to again look at verse number 40 and see something else here. The Bible says not only that, and the child grew, but it says secondly, and waxed strong in spirit. Waxed strong in spirit. Not only did Jesus develop physically, but he developed spiritually. This is his spiritual development. The Bible said he waxed strong in spirit. Again, we're talking about the younger years of the Lord Jesus Christ. He started at a young age developing spiritual insight. And again, that shows us the importance of reaching them at a young age. They tell us that children's young years are the most formative in their life. By the time a child gets to 12 years old, they are pretty much 90% developed. Their direction, their mentality, their everything by 12 years old, they're either on their way or a lost cause. Now, thankfully, the grace of God can always interrupt any situation and make something good out of that which is not too good. But you find out that those young years when that kid, oh, they don't know what's going on. You know, parents cuss in front of the kids thinking, well, you know, they're too young to understand. Don't you bet on it. They'll grow up repeating exactly what you say, and then you'll think, who raised that kid? How come they turned out that way? They tell us that welfare among second generation and third generation is such astronomical rates. You know why? Those kids are developed at a young age, and as they see the example being set by their parents, that's the example that's indoctrinated into them. Jesus at a young age grew not only physically and developed physically, but he developed spiritually. The Bible says he waxed strong in spirit. That means he was spiritually powerful. He waxed strong in spirit. The best thing you and I can do for a child is give them the Word of God. Now I understand that when they're young, you know, you can't start too young singing to them. I mean, in the womb is not too young. They say you can talk to plants and that they can grow better. I don't know if that's true or not, but I know if an inanimate object like that can't, I know a child in the womb can hear that singing, and they say that it recognizes its father's and mother's voice when it's born because it's already heard it. Isn't it amazing that sociologists can tell us that and yet at the same time defend abortion? So Jesus developed in that way. He developed spiritually. He was taught as a young age. We give them what they're able to handle at 1 year old and 2 years old. We're not teaching them the great doctrines of the Bible. But they're learning what they need to know at those young ages because we're developing them to be spiritually powerful. And that doesn't happen overnight. And you can't flip a switch when they become a teenager and say, all right, now we're going to take you to church. Now we're going to teach you the right things. Now, you know, parents will call the preacher and say, "Preacher, I've got a boy and he's just nothing but trouble and I want to get him in church." You got a job on your hands because fixing him now is going to be a tough thing to do. Some woman wrote to, and I don't have it before me, I remember this, but some woman wrote to the Chicago Tribune, to the questions that people ask, you know, whoever that is that they ask questions to, and the woman said, "I've got a son, he's 25 years old, he comes home drunk all the time, he's running out at night, he steals from me in my house." She said, "What can I do with him?" And he wrote back and said, "Shrink him down to 2 years old and start all over again." He said, "That's impossible. It's the only help he can get outside of the Lord Jesus Christ." The spiritual development has to begin at a young age. You can't flip a switch and turn it on later. Jesus was spiritually powerful. Notice also in verse 40, it says, "And the grace of God was upon him." Jesus was spiritually prosperous. The grace of God was upon him. The best prosperity we can teach our children is spiritual prosperity. We have in our day this mindset that they have to go to college, and I'm not against college. They have to go to college. They've got to get an education. They've got to get a degree. They've got to be learned in this or that. And you know what happens. They spend $70,000 getting a college education and then go work at Walmart because there's no jobs out there in the job market. $70,000 cashier. We put the emphasis on that kind of stuff and forget what's important. You know, we're going to see in a moment that Jesus also developed mentally and developed socially. But may I emphasize that he developed spiritually before those two things? And that is more important than the other two things, developing spiritually. But we don't put the emphasis in the right place. Jesus was spiritually powerful. He was spiritually prosperous. He was taught by Joseph and Mary. You know, not a lot is said in the Bible about Joseph. He's there. He's of the seed of David, and so that fulfills the prophecy. We know that Mary was especially chosen by God to be the vessel that God would send his son, but I believe that Joseph was specially chosen too. Because he wasn't just going to put him with Mary with any other Yahoo around. He picked Mary because Mary was connected to Joseph, betrothed to Joseph. She must have made a spiritual decision in her choice, and God entrusted her on the basis of that decision partly to give her that Christ child. And though Joseph disappears after this account at the age of 12, and we don't know why, and again, there's where people want to fill in the details. Oh, here's what happened to him. We don't know what happened to him. But I know what he did for 12 years. He taught the Lord Jesus Christ. He taught his young son Jesus. He taught him the law. He taught them the things of the Old Testament. He taught them their Jewish heritage. Jesus learned at the knee of Joseph, his quote-unquote father. And Jesus was spiritually prosperous. Notice in verse 52, and we jump ahead a little bit. It says, "And Jesus increased in favor with God." Jesus increased in favor with God. He was spiritually pleasing. Spiritually powerful, spiritually prosperous, and spiritually pleasing. He increased in favor with God. We need to plant the seed while they're young. We need to get them in church while they're young. We need to get them under the teaching of the Word of God while they're young. We need to get them involved in things. You know, a lot of folks say, "Well, you know, if you don't use the world's music today, you won't get young people in." Well, the problem is the quality of the people you're going to get is the quality of what you offer them. And if you use the world's standards as what the church is supposed to be, you're going to get the world's people in, and when they walk out the door, they're going to be the world's people when they leave. I mentioned to you the other night, looking at that one video of what used to be the Akron Baptist Temple, Brother Leonard, where you got saved. The Akron Baptist Temple, where Dallas Billington and Charles Billington were up there and preached, and folks came down and got saved by droves. Hundreds of people coming down get saved. Now, Brother John sent me the video clip of the service they had for an Easter Sunday there, and it looked like a rock concert. Literally, it looked like a rock concert. They're up on the stage, the lights are down, the guys are on the guitars and on the drums, and the people with their hair, they didn't look any different from the, I'm going to name groups that are way back from the 70s, so that's not going to mean anything. They didn't look any different from those groups way back before I got saved. look like the same kind of people, singing the same kind of music. And you could pick out, I could pick out the name Jesus in the verse, in the words sometimes, but that was about it. And people are bouncing up and down, and the strobe lights are going, and there's no spiritual quality to anything that's taking place. And what didn't happen, that used to happen at the Akron Baptist Temple, is there's no invitation when it's done. And there's no sinners coming down to accept Christ as their Savior. You give the people the world, they'll take the world and they'll go out with the world and there'll be no change in their life. Jesus was taught and spiritually developed by his mother and father, quote unquote, at a very young age. And he developed spiritually. Then look again, if you would, at verse 40, and we see the next development that we see listed here. In verse number 40, it says, "And the child grew," that's his physical development, "and waxed strong in spirit," that's his spiritual development, "and was filled with wisdom," that's his mental development. His mental development. He was filled with wisdom. Jesus increased in knowledge. He increased in wisdom. And again, I can't comprehend it, but that means he progressed. From a young age, he began to learn how to spell his name, how to write his name, then how to write it in cursive. He began to learn his math tables, I guess, his division tables, his multiplication tables. He began to learn science. Now again, he had to learn science. I mean, the one that spoke everything into existence had to learn. He increased in wisdom. He increased in knowledge. He had a mental development. Now, he astounded these people at 12 years old with what he was able to communicate and what he was able to teach. But other than that, he just looked like an 8-year-old child, a 10-year-old child, a 12-year-old child. But he was developing mentally in accordance to his age. That's a normal progression. He not only grew physically and spiritually, he grew mentally. One of the problems we have in our modern society is people are growing mentally. Or people are growing physically and not growing mentally. We have what I call the dumbing down of America. And a lot of that dumbing down is a result of churches. I mean, haven't we done that with the very Word of God? We've taken the precious Bible and it's what, you know, it's Elizabethan English, as they want to call it. We've taken the glory of the Bible, the Word of God, and trashed it and put it in the New International Version and put it in the New Living Translation. We've taken the precious Word of God and we've dumbed it down to the IQ of modern-day America. They tell us that when the King James Bible was written, it was written at a fourth-grade level. Fourth grade. Now, the problem is not that the Bible's hard to understand. It's a problem that we have dumbed down to where we can't understand it. I still maintain you take these kids from Sunday school that are at fourth grade level, they can quote just about anything that's in that Bible. They can memorize that stuff. It's a lot easier to memorize than the new stuff is. It flows. It makes sense. It's got rhythm. It's got cadence to it. But people aren't developing mentally as they should be in accordance with their physical development. I think nothing shows that any more than listening to ESPN radio. I'm a sports nut. I'm a sports fanatic. I understand that. And I like to sometimes listen to ESPN radio. And they start interviewing these big old football players. I mean, these guys are 6'6", 230 pounds, can move a mountain, but they can't pronounce words. They can't communicate their thoughts. And you just listen to them and think, and I understand they're athletes, so they got their way through high school without having to do much. They paid their way through college without having to do much. I understand the education's missing. And then you got this man that's fully developed physically and just can't communicate worth a lick. The ones that can, that become sports broadcasters, are the exceptions. The very few that are articulate enough to do that. Most of them just don't have that ability. The lacking is in their education. And it's not just the athletes that are lacking in their education. We've got kids, high school kids, that don't know how to write a check. Don't know how to balance a checkbook. Don't know how to do those things that you and I were, most of us were taught long, long time ago. They're not developing mentally. They're developing physically. You know what kind of monstrosity you've got when something develops physically but not spiritually and mentally? You've got a monster on your hands. And I'm sad to say we're raising lots of monsters these days. They're not developing mentally. God gave us not only a body, but He gave us a mind, and we're to develop it. You know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, give attendance to reading. Give attendance to reading. That's what Paul told Timothy. Use your mind. Exercise your mind. And sad to say, libraries these days are almost a thing of an extinction because people aren't reading anymore. Young people don't read. I mean, it's too easy to use the gadgets. It's too easy to use electronics. It's too easy to sit in front of the television. Now, that goes back 40 years. Sitting the kid in front of the television. Don't need to study. Don't need to learn. Don't need to exercise your mind. No imagination. Everything's force-fed through the television set. And we produce that kind of society today. Now it's been multiplied by all the electronic gadgets and gizmos and the internet that's out there. People don't have to think. Something else can think for them. Jesus developed mentally. He developed His mind. He progressed in it. In our day, people are just not developing as they should. In John chapter 7, the Pharisees said of Jesus, how knoweth this man letters having never learned? You know what they were saying? How can he be so smart and we didn't know who he was? He didn't go to our universities. He didn't go to our schools. He's not accredited by our teachers. Where did he come from? They were amazed that Joseph and Mary had raised a child that had developed mentally at the level that Jesus had developed, educationally and intellectually. I know, again, he was God. I understand that. But the Bible's telling us he had to develop in all these areas just like everybody else does. And we've lost the influence of mental development by the influence of trash. Turn the television on if you want to. Put it on anything and sit back and just be amazed at what people consume hours of their life digesting and taking in. And it's no amazement that our world is in the way it is. And it's in that kind of situation. Jesus developed mentally. And then look, if you would, at verse number 52, and we're going to skip ahead. Jesus developed physically, spiritually, mentally. And verse number 52, it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature in favor with God and man. Let's call that his social development. He increased in favor with God, that's his spiritual development, and with man. That is his social development. Can I say this? Social development is important. If you don't think so, go back and read the newspaper clippings from Columbine a few years ago. And you'll find out that integrating a child into society to a certain is necessary. You don't want them to be isolated. You don't want them to be a loner. They will develop mental problems if they're that way. So social conduct is important. But at the same time, notice this. Jesus developed physically from age 8 days to 12 years. He developed spiritually age 8 days to 12 years. He developed mentally, age 8 to 12 years. He developed socially, beginning at age 12. People think, oh, if you don't get that child out, you know, 5 years old, if you don't get him in preschool, he's going to be warped. No, he's going to be warped if you get him in there. He's going to be warped when you get him all around all the other 5-year-old kids that are out there. And if you've ever done that, you know what I'm talking about. You got to get them in kindergarten when they're 6 years old. You got to get them in the public school system when they're 6, or they're going to be socially unadaptable. They're going to be just fine. If they go to church and they're around other people, they're going to be just fine. If they live in the same world we all live in and go to the same places, they're going to be just fine. And Jesus at 12 began his social development. Now that doesn't mean he was an outcast before that. Doesn't mean he was offbeat before that. But it tells us in verse 52, something it didn't tell us back in verse number 40, and that is that now he began that social development. Now he began that interaction with other people and developed into a fine-behaving person. Now, I know what runs through our mind. Well, I'm not a Jesus. I'm a John the Baptist. Put me out in the wilderness. Get me out there with my locust and my honey. Put me out there in my camel's hair in the wilderness yelling and screaming. That's my element. That's me. John the Baptist was a specially chosen vessel to be like Elijah to pronounce the coming of Christ. He's not the example that's set for you and I to imitate. Jesus is. He's the one we're to be like. And he developed socially as well as these other things, and the world still appreciates, in our day, good behavior. Now, a lot of times they're shocked by it. A lot of times, you know, I remember one time we took Josh and was going into school and going to vocational school, and we sat down, and we had a council with the teacher, and the teacher said, "I've got a problem with this boy." And we said, "What is it?" He said, "He keeps calling me sir." He said, "This isn't the military." And I thought, of all things you're worried about, the problem, you run this school, right? You got all these kids that are in here, and your problem is that somebody's calling you sir? That's the worst thing you got to worry about anybody? But when we show that proper upbringing, we show that right manners, the world is shocked by it, but you know what? They do appreciate it because it's so rare anymore. Opening the door for people, saying hello, saying thank you, being respectful to people, the world just walks around grumpy all the time. They walk around, as we talked about this morning, hot-headed. They're mad at everything that goes on. Jesus developed socially as well as the other. And by the time he was 30 years of age, he was an ideal instrument in the hand of God. Now again, I know he was God. But his formative years prepared him for the service he gave when he was 30 years old. He developed properly. He developed physically. He developed spiritually. He developed mentally. He developed socially so that God could use him. We want to raise our children, our grandchildren, to be used of God. There's no greater thing than to be used of God. That doesn't mean we're going to send them off to a mission field necessarily. It doesn't mean they're going to take a vow of poverty and become a preacher necessarily. But we want them to grow up in whatever occupation they pursue, whatever life direction God gives them. We want them to be raised and to get married and to have a family and to be faithful in church and be faithful to God and follow the precepts of the Bible so they'll be protected by God's blessing. But to do that, it takes work. Joseph and Mary did that job. Again, I appreciate Joseph because he was there for the formative years. Where he went after Jesus was 12, I'm just going to assume he passed away. Because I know what I know of Joseph, there's no other option. There's no other option that's there. He disappeared from the scene. But he did his job for the first 12 years when he was important and necessary and vital. Now, that's not to say that a single mom today can't do a job, but she's hindered in doing that job. She can't do it like having Joseph around. She can't do it like having that influence and that teaching and that training that was there. Jesus developed. Verse 40, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Jesus set the example of early childhood development. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.